Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Monday, the 8th of April. And our top story today is that parents in a part of Kent are demanding a new non-selective secondary school to save their children around a 10-mile commute. Well, Kate joins me now with more on this one. Kate, what's the situation in Cranbrook at the moment then?
Well, currently there isn't a non-selective school in the area or nearby, so pupils are faced with long journeys every day. The options at the moment are Maskells in Paddock Wood, which is more than 11 miles away, Homewood in Tenterton, a 10-mile trip, Cornwallis in Maidstone, which is almost 11 miles, or Uplands in Wadhurst, which has the longest journey of 12 miles. Previously, Cranbrook did have Angley School, which was later renamed the High Weald Academy, but that closed in 2022 and is now Snowfields, which is a specialist school for children with learning difficulties.
And what are mums and dads doing?
They've joined forces with the parish council to form a campaign group called Support Weald Schooling. They've already started the petition and signatures will be sent to the Department for Education.
And we've also heard from one parent what she had to say.
That's right. Reporter Alan Smith has spoken to Claire Mills, who has two children and the eldest will be starting secondary in just a few years' time. She's really concerned her daughter will have to leave home at 7 a.m. and not get back until 5 p.m. There are also fears she won't live near her school friends and could become isolated.
Thanks ever so much, Kate. Well, perhaps you live in Cranbrook and want to have a say. You can comment on the story or via our socials. We also contacted Kent County Council, which is the local education authority, but they haven't responded just yet with a comment for us.
Kent Online News.
There's major disruption to rail services in Kent today as train drivers are out on strike. Members of the ASLEF union have been in dispute with employers over pay since July 2022. Sophia Aiken has been chatting to Scott Brightwell from Southeastern.
We do expect disruption on the day. It will be extremely challenging. We expect trains to be extremely busy, and we also expect there to be queues of up to 2 hours at stations. So I suppose our key message is to really, if at all possible, travel on another day. Many of our stations will have no train service at all. So it's absolutely essential that people check before travelling because, you know, although we are doing the very best we can to offer a train service on some very limited routes, we're trying to do that so that there is access to healthcare and education. We really will not have the capacity for the normal amount of passengers. And the vast majority of our routes will not be served at all. So it's really, it's imperative that people check because there will be no trains for most of our stations.
These strikes have been going on for a while now. How is it kind of for you guys kind of being in the middle of it whilst the unions are kind of striking?
We're focusing on trying to do the best we can for passengers in very, very challenging circumstances. This industrial action has been going on for a significant amount of time. And every time this happens, we are trying to do the best we possibly can for customers in this situation. We want to, if we can, help people avoid the disruption in the first place. So if you have bought a ticket for the Monday when there's strike action, you will be able to travel on a different day or get compensation. So please check out our website. But you know, our main focus is trying to do the best we can. There's been action short of a strike on other days this week, and we are running a normal timetable. So we're doing the very best we can to maintain services. But it's tough. But we've got a fantastic team at Southeastern, and yeah, people are doing the best they can in challenging circumstances.
And can you give me an idea of kind of the routes in? There will be very limited routes. There will still be like limited travel within Kent. So what lines kind of are still running and things like that?
There will be a shuttle service on high speed from Ashford into St Pancras, and that is only hourly. So that's very, very limited service. And there will be two lines in from Dartford into Charing Cross along the Bexley Heath and Sidcup lines and services in from Orpington into Charing Cross. And that's it. So vast, vast areas of Kent will have no train service whatsoever, which is why our key message is to be do not travel.
If you have got a ticket for today, you'll be able to travel on another day or get compensation. We've got some more travel news for you, and the M20 has reopened after being closed overnight, so National Highways could remove Operation Brock. The traffic system's been in place over the 13-mile stretch between Maidstone and Ashford during the busy Easter period. Now, the concrete bollards and contraflow system have been taken away. A yellow weather warning for strong winds has been issued for parts of the Kent coast tomorrow. It comes into force at 1 a.m. and will last until midday. It stretches from Dungeness to Margate, so we're being warned it could cause hazardous coastal conditions. And a flood warning has been issued for parts of Kent due to an unusually high tide. It's expected to impact the tidal River Medway and the Medway estuary, including Aylesford, Larkfield, Waldham, the Medway towns Upnor, Hoo and Lower Halstow. Residents are being strongly urged to take action.
Kent Online News.
Emergency services has been called to a road in Ramsgate after a man's body was found. Police sealed off part of Victoria Parade for several hours yesterday. We're told the death is not being treated as suspicious. Follow Kent Online on socials to see CCTV pictures of three men police are hunting after a burglary in Sittingbourne. A business in Bobbing was broken into last Friday morning, and it's alleged the group stole tools worth more than £7,000. Investigators believe the men are able to help with their inquiries. Fire crews have been called out to a home in Ramsgate after garden furniture caught alight. Two engines were on the scene at Nixon Avenue yesterday afternoon. The flames also spread to an outbuilding. We're told there were no reported injuries, but the cause is under investigation. Now, next today, and the man who wants to be the next Labour MP in Dover says the government has left it too late to avoid chaos at the town's port when new biometric checks come in. This is something we've discussed on the podcast plenty of times in the past. The EU digital border controls are due to be introduced this autumn and would see manual passport stamps replaced with facial imaging and fingerprinting. Now, parliamentary candidate Mike Tapp has been speaking on the latest edition of the Kent Politics podcast. He says there have been concerns of huge delays and tailbacks since it was first announced.
This all goes back to 2020, where the port realised that, hey, we're going to have these new biometric digital borders coming in 3 or 4 years' time. We better get something done so that there's not more chaos in Dover. Obviously, we already see that at peak holiday times. So they put in a bid, I think it's £33 million, if I remember correctly, to the Cabinet Office, and they rejected it outright. So there was no money to help build that infrastructure to ease the pressure on the road. And then for some reason, the Conservatives woke up and realised, oh, look, we've got digital borders coming in a year, and they've granted £43 million but from the Levelling Up Fund. Now, I'm really clear on this, that it's good they've got that money because we do need to ensure that we minimise the chaos, but it's from completely the wrong place, because that sort of money should go to communities. For example, community centre in Aycliffe, you know, it's been left empty for far too long now. So the money's good that it's going there. It is needed. There needs to be better solutions than this. What they're doing in the port is good, but I don't think it's enough alone. And that's where the relationship, the French, is so important because of the juxtaposed borders. And this is where it's quite difficult in opposition, essentially, because I don't see what talks are going on with the French and what we could do to ease that pressure digitally and those digital solutions.
Do you share, for example, the views of a Conservative MP in Kent, Helen Whateley, who said the M20 shouldn't be used as a car park for holiday traffic? It should be used when there are genuine crises or emergencies.
I mean, the M20 is open for anyone to use it, and it's an important freight route, isn't it? You know, I think 70-odd% of Britain's freight roll on, roll off comes through the port. So it is very important. And I see they're doing some work there at the moment that could help. But the big issue is going to be the digital solution that we have for collecting people's biometrics. And look, Natalie Elphick doesn't want this issue because...
Well, presumably you don't either.
I don't want this issue. Anyone that cares about the community won't want this issue. And I'm not saying Natalie Elphick particularly cares about the community, but if she's going to run a general election in November off the back of the new borders, it's going to be utter chaos and it's going to have a massive impact. I think all the stakeholders want to see a solution here, but the fact is this, what we haven't seen from the Conservatives is long-term planning. And it was so obvious this was coming. We all knew it was coming. Dover Port knew it was coming. The only people that didn't was the Conservative government. And that's why they rejected that funding in 2020, and it's causing massive issues. So if they can't see into the future things that are so obvious, how can we trust them with the long-term future of Dover and Deal, and indeed the whole country.
Now, the port was awarded £43 million from the Levelling Up Fund last year to help ease gridlock. You can listen to that full interview with Mike at the podcast pages of Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
Plans to use AMPR cameras to catch drivers misusing a bus gate in Maidstone have got the backing from residents. The decision to install the cameras at the site between Chapelfield Way and Howard Drive comes after drivers have been using it as a cut-through and speeding. Once the technology is up and running, anyone caught doing the wrong thing risks a £70 fine. A driver fleeing the scene of a suspected hit-and-run in Whitstable has led to calls to tackle speeding on a so-called treacherous hill. Nobody was injured on Borstal Hill, but residents say it's only a matter of time, and they're urging KCC to take action in encouraging safe driving. The council says it's working with police. Hythe residents have told us sewage tankers are ruining their lives and disrupting them 24/7. Southern Water's vehicles use St Leonard's Road to access a wastewater pumping station, but residents say it's too noisy. Well, the water company has apologised and says recent heavy rainfall has put significant pressure on its network. Now, today marks 4 weeks since the start of controversial roadworks in Medway, and local bosses have told the podcast they're pleased with how traffic is coping. The A228 in the Strood-bound direction from the Sands Parel roundabout has been closed since March the 11th and won't reopen until June. It's all to build the entrance to a new secondary school called Maritime Academy. Now, there had been concerns it would cause major congestion and long delays through Frinsbury Hill. Simon Curry is from Medway Council and he's been speaking to our colleague Sophia Aiken from KMTV.
It seems to be going fairly smoothly. It's not been perfect. There's been a few hiccups here and there, and I can touch on those in a moment if you like. But from a traffic management point of view, it's been really quite good. And I have to say that the council teams, the highways teams involved, have been doing a brilliant job. They planned it really carefully. We did a lot of consultation with the community and looked at the sort of traffic area generally and put a stop to any other roadworks in the area and stuff like that. So far, and we're only into week three, as I know, it's gone relatively smoothly, so I'm quite pleased, actually, yes.
We, spoke to a couple of businesses and things who were really concerned about this coming in as it's kind of the main route into Rochester. Have you spoken much to those businesses that are impacted by this?
We have, yeah. We've had regular communication with a lot of businesses and with the local councillors as well, just to make sure that they're all up to speed. And we've kind of been picking up one or two issues that they've brought to us that we didn't predict. And that's really good that they were able to come forward and talk to us about the one or two problems, particularly around signage and making it very clear that the businesses were still open and active. The local pub and one or two other businesses down there, which I think now we've got the signage right, but we're constantly reviewing it. The officers are meeting not quite daily with the contractors out there, but they're certainly meeting every week, every few days, and I get a report every week from the senior managers involved there as to how things are going. And that contact with the business is key. So if there are, put the message out there again, we keep saying if there are any issues, don't hesitate to either contact the council directly, and they've got the contact details for that, or go to their local councillors. And I meet with them and talk with them quite on a regular basis.
Yeah, when I sort of spoke to them before it went into place, some of them kind of weren't aware that it was coming in. It sounded like some of them, I'd kind of broke the news to them, they weren't really aware that these roadworks were coming in.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. It is difficult. We did try and get the messaging out there as early as possible. We were talking about it back in January, and we were talking about it certainly all through February. We know it's a long period of time. 15 weeks is a huge chunk of time. Particularly around this time of year in the spring when people are getting out and about more generally. But we didn't really have control over the timing of the works. That was outside of our control here in Medway. So we tried to get the message out as much as possible. And we did bring the period down considerably. I think it was originally going to be 19 or 20 weeks, and we managed to get it down to 15. And I'm hoping hoping against hope that, actually they may get the work done more quickly than that, and it won't be as long as 15. We'll get it down as far as we can. But that's really dependent on the contractors and the conditions they work under and what they're trying to do. But we're liaising regularly with the Department for Education over this to make sure that we get it right.
Kent Online reports.
Parking charges are going up in another part of Kent as bosses look to create more revenue to avoid cutting services elsewhere. Tunbridge and Moreland councillors have voted in favour of introducing a fee at sites in Aylesford and Larkfield to bring them in line with the rest of the borough. Now, the charges will help fund the creation of up to 30 additional spaces at the Bailey Bridge East car park. You'll also have to pay to use Martin Square in Larkfield, although the first 30 minutes will be free. Councillors also voted to approve the introduction of charges for on-street parking in the High Street and Swan Street in Westmorling. Now, we've been to find out what residents think of the changes.
Martin Square car park was built solely for the shops and the residents. It was never meant to be charged. It always has been free. Whereas the likes of Westmorling and Aylesford, they are having quite a lot of money spent on their car parks. Whereas this has always been free from the day they built it.
I think it's a terrible shame because I believe the shops will suffer.
Actually come to the library and have to pay is something else, but Mum lives very close by and she has early onset Alzheimer's.
I probably won't come to Martin Square. If I need to pop to get something, I probably wouldn't come here, so that will impact the local shops.
Councillor Kim Tanner is the Cabinet Lead on Finance at the Council and said this at the recent meeting where all of this was decided. We do have to maintain our car parks and that costs a lot of money. The days of free parking have probably gone. It's time we brought some sort of consistency across the borough with regard to parking charges. And even though we do have some concessions, every concession is going to have an effect on our financial strategy and our funding. A cafe and welcome centre are set to be the first things to open at the Citadel at Dover's Western Heights. It's part of plans to turn the closed-off 18th century fort into a business and tourism site. The application is now being considered by planning officials. Residents in Stodmarsh say a stretch of road leading into their village could be one of the worst in Kent. Drivers say years of neglect have left Stodmarsh Road full of potholes with uneven surfaces and water retention. Well, these people have been telling the podcast what makes it so unbearable.
This whole stretch needs to be resurfaced. You know, patches here and there just won't cut it. You know, the whole 25-yard stretch, the worst of it, where potholes extend the full width of the carriageway, needs to be taken up and resurfaced. People who know this road, I always take it at walking pace.
And I cycle, and yes, you're forced to get out into the road to avoid the potholes. So for a lot of vehicles, this is the only access into this area because of width and weight restrictions.
They're now calling on the County Council to take urgent action. And finally, an Ashford vineyard will be allowed to hold wine tasting events despite fears it would disturb mourners at a nearby church graveyard. Nineoaks in Hothfield's proposals received 13 letters of objection, but the council's given it the green light under certain rules. The owners say they'll limit the amount of alcohol visitors can have.
Kent Online Sport.
Football and Gillingham's hopes of reaching the League Two playoffs are all but over after they suffered another defeat at the weekend. They were beaten 1-0 at Bradford City to drop to 11th in the table. Let's get reaction first from head coach Stephen Clements.
I felt we played well first half and we've had three excellent chances and we've not put them in the back of the net again. So look, if you don't take your chances, then you're obviously always giving the opposition a chance. And obviously at the end of the first half, I thought it was excellent. What for? I don't know if it's 43, 44 minutes, have a shot from the edge of the box and it goes in. And then obviously the second half was difficult. To say the pitch was really, really difficult to play any football on, and it's really windy conditions here. So it was a difficult game for the players. Look, I can't fault the players' efforts, all right? Obviously last week I wasn't happy. They've had a go today, they've created opportunities, but it's been the story of our season and we haven't been able to score enough goals, and that's been over the whole season.
You said after Monday's game you wanted a response, and yep. In the first half you certainly got it.
I see a bunch of lads that are having a go, and they're trying their best. But it must be demoralising for them as well when they're getting these opportunities and the ball isn't going in the back of the net. It must be. So it's something, obviously there's a lot of work to be done at this football club, and we've got to get better at it because it's been like this for a couple of years, I believe. So, and we will. We'll work hard and we'll make sure we do our business right to get us better.
Yeah, frustrating one, wasn't it? Because of three glorious opportunities, Bradford scored, and it just changed the game.
It did. As I say, it was difficult conditions, and goals do change games, huh? That's everyone says that, and it's true. But the boys kept at it. It was just very, very difficult to get the ball down and play. It was a second balls game. It was an attitude game, and the attitude was there of the lads. We're just missing in that final bit.
Player Conor Mahoney also spoke to the club's media man after the match.
Conor, frustrating afternoon. Probably should have been ahead at half time. Was it just a case of not taking chances today?
Yeah, I think that's been the story of the season, not taking our chances. I'm guilty of that as well. I think I had a couple that I should have, had a shot for, and obviously Tim's had one cleared off the line. That's the game we're in. If you don't take your chances, you don't deserve to win the game, and unfortunately that's what happened today.
You just said to the manager that goals change games, and this occasion it certainly did.
Yeah, definitely. That's an area we've been lacking all season, I think. Something we need to address going forward, now to the end of the season, and especially next season. We were obviously all, devastated in there, really.
Pulled forward in the second half, gave everything we had, but Bradford ultimately just kind of happy to sit on what they had.
Yeah, definitely. I think the pitch was horrendous today, and it was tough conditions to play in, but that's what you get at this level. Just today weren't good enough. Unfortunately, that's not great.
Three games to go. Nice to finish strong, wouldn't it, going into the summer break?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to take a few days to get over, the disappointment. We've got three games, two at home, one away, and hopefully we can pick up some points and finish as strong as we can, take that momentum into next season.
Now, Connor's currently on loan at the Gills, but has said he's keen to stay to help the side secure promotion next season. Gillingham are back in action on Saturday when they host Barrow at Priestfield. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.